Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is your host, Colin Cattell. By popular demand from the audience, I've managed to get Mike Beck back on the show, and this time for a three-part series that will be released over the next month to focus on the battery metals, lithium, cobalt, and nickel. This week, we're going to focus exclusively on lithium. Mike, welcome back to the program.
Colin, thank you very much for having me back. A pleasure.
Yeah, and before we jump in, you just got back from LME Week over in London. Any highlights on the week as it pertained to the battery metal space?
Yes, I don't think I've ever seen quite a buzz, perhaps at the level that we witnessed this week. It reminded me of sort of the start of the China-driven supercycle in the early mid-2000s, but the theme almost through the entirety of the conference was battery metals, with a particular focus on cobalt, lithium, nickel, and copper. And lithium and cobalt in particular have been sort of well established as an investment theme the last 9 to 12 months, and you need to look no further than the number of junior companies pursuing those two metals to confirm that. But nickel was sort of the new kid on the block, and a recognition that all of these EV batteries are going to require a substantial quantity of nickel, and much more than the market is currently delivering. And copper also is emerging as a story, because for those that have looked at it in detail, the average electric vehicle consumes about 80 kilograms more of copper than an internal combustion engine, and that includes the copper that's going to be needed for the build out of the grid. So the entire week, this week in London, was really a buzz about battery metals and those four in particular.
Great. Well, sitting there watching you present at the show a couple weeks ago, I couldn't help but think that your mind works much like a steel trap for numbers and data. And once those numbers and data get in your mind, they don't seem to slip. So I want to talk to you today about the numbers and data pertaining to lithium. Investors know that amongst the battery metals, lithium was the first one to take off. And I guess some people are wondering, will the trend continue, and what does the future hold for lithium? So, Mike, maybe starting with the demand picture as it pertains to EV adoption rates.
Okay. Well, we always, in our sort of supply-demand outlook analysis, start there, because it's the best of all scenarios is to have a demand-driven story as opposed to a supply-constrained. In the case of lithium, we actually have this rare event where we both have a very strong, in fact, unprecedented demand-driven story combined with a severe supply constraint, and I'll talk about those elements in turn. So on the demand side, the lithium market today is give or take 200,000 metric tons. This is of lithium carbonate equivalent, which is the principal material that is purchased by the cathode makers, which in turn is purchased by the battery makers, which in turn is purchased by, in this particular case, the electric vehicle manufacturers. So just to put that in perspective, 200,000 tons is a relatively small market volumetrically by metal industry standards, and is about 1% of the size of the copper market. If you assume that EV penetration rates will be by 2025 on the order of 15%, which is sort of the consensus view at the moment, is 15 to 20%. That's not a terribly ambitious assumption. That means that by 2025, 1 in 7 passenger cars will be an electric vehicle. And you dial in certain assumptions as to battery chemistry type and the amount of lithium that's required. So, for example, if you take a Tesla Model S and the 70 kilowatt hour battery option, which is sort of at the low end of the range for the Tesla S, that unit needs 63 kilograms of lithium. So if you do this analysis sort of across a range of chemistries and across a range of both pure electric vehicles as well as hybrids, you come to a calculation that says the world is going to need something on the order of 800,000 tons a year of lithium carbonate. That is 4 times current market supply. And so that's kind of interesting because that's almost an unprecedented amount of new supply that has to come into the market in a relatively short time frame. As somebody once commented, they had never seen such a demand profile except for maybe aluminum foil when it was introduced in the early 1900s and the subsequent then 10x demand for aluminum. So it's unprecedented sort of demand profile for any metal. And in this case, it's particularly interesting because the market is supply constrained by long lead times to bring in new supply. To bring on a new hard rock lithium mine is on the order, if everything goes well, and it rarely does, 5 years. If you instead are looking at brines, which is a higher quality and lower cost of lithium, then the average time from start to first production is on the order of 7 years. So how the market is going to deliver 4 times current market supply in the next 8 years or 7 years, because we're almost through 2017, is a head scratcher. And the other thing that strikes us as very interesting in lithium is it, unlike many other metals, it has a high degree of price inelasticity. So at current lithium carbonate prices, they translate to 1 to 2% of the final vehicle sticker price. So if the cost goes up 4 or 5x, then they'll move to maybe perhaps 5% of the vehicle sticker price, i.e. they're not going to cause demand destruction. And at the same time, there is no obvious substitute for lithium, simply because it is the metal that has the lightest, unique combination of the of being the lightest and having the highest energy density. And these are two superlatives that are critical for mobile battery applications, not only cars and buses, but also laptops and cell phones. So we in our history of the metals industry, I've been in this industry for 35 years as an investor, I have never seen such a perfect storm. So our strategy has been to get as long the metal as possible, because with these sort of drivers, there's no doubt that lithium prices are going way higher than they are now, and things will become a lot more interesting as we move into 2018 and various and sundry vehicle manufacturers start releasing their new product offerings into the marketplace, which will stimulate further pressure on the supply chain, which is already very tight.
Mike, further to your point about potential replacements for lithium batteries, and to dispel that misconception, you've met with several experts in the industry. And you're of the opinion that at least for the next decade or more, there's nothing available that's going to be able to supply the fleet of EV vehicles.
That is correct. I attended a cathode metals conference that Benchmark put on about 3 weeks ago in Newport Beach, California. And at the conference were most of the major cathode manufacturers who deal specifically with this issue of battery chemistry and changes they see coming down the future. At the moment, for the foreseeable future, which means really the next 7 to 10 years, there is no viable substitute for lithium. And so lithium-ion batteries will be the mainstay for the next decade of applications that require the combination of high energy density and light weight. So what the industry is doing now is trying to migrate the chemistry, still using a lithium ion basis, to using more nickel and less cobalt. And for two reasons for that. One, they're concerned about supply difficulties with cobalt, and that's the subject of another talk. But also, the cobalt really doesn't contribute to the battery performance. Its main reason for being there is to mitigate problems with thermal instability. So, for this foreseeable future, the work and the research in the battery cathode chemistry industry is to develop chemistries that have higher component of nickel, which gives you more energy storage, and a lower component of cobalt, and moving from where the industry now is with sort of a 5-3-2 or 6-2-2 to an 8-1-1. That's 8 parts nickel, 1 part manganese, 1 part cobalt, to get better performance and lower cost. But there is no substitute for the foreseeable future for lithium, simply because if you look at the periodic table, you will note that it is a unique element that has this rather interesting and important set of characteristics, i.e. high energy density and very light weight, which is critical for applications that require both of those characteristics. So we don't see a change in the foreseeable future, and you can just see that with the announcements the last 6 months of all of the companies, in particular the Chinese companies building gigafactories. All of these gigafactories that have been announced for Europe, additional ones for Asia, and also for North America, are all based on lithium-ion chemistry. So lithium is not going away for the next decade and perhaps even beyond that.
Detailed in the chart in your presentation you gave at the conference, you showed that 100% EV penetration would require 25 times the demand for lithium as opposed to today. And today we only have EV sales at 1%. At the same time, Mike, lithium prices are up significantly the last few years, which begs the question, how much of that price appreciation is tied to the demand we've already seen? And how much of that is industry speculation about the future demand? I guess what I'm getting at here is, do you see significant price increases continuing?
Yes, there's no doubt. And lithium is also interesting because it's one of the most reactive elements known to mankind. And as a consequence, you can't have financial speculators buy the material and put it in a warehouse, because after 9 months or so, it starts to react with the atmosphere and degrade, and with the passage of a bit more time becomes worthless and has to be reprocessed. So unlike many other metals like the uranium boom, where financial speculators came in, bought, and currently also with cobalt, have bought physical material in anticipation that prices would rise and stuck it in a warehouse, that's really not an option for lithium carbonate. And so lithium prices have gone from where they historically traded, which is $4,000 to $6,000 a ton, to sort of at the moment $18,000 to $20,000 a ton, with some cargoes as recently as last week in China trading for $28,000 a ton. And my view is that this is just the beginning, because I think that the supply chain is tight now. If you are a cathode maker or a battery maker or a manufacturer, and you try to go out and source any sort of tonnage of lithium carbonate today for the next 1, 2, 3 years, there is no spare material around. And I think it will get really interesting as we roll into 2018, because starting 2018 is when a number of vehicle manufacturers expect to roll out their new EV offerings. And you know, you have announcements of late that Volvo, starting 2019, will be 100% electric or hybrid. Volkswagen publicly announced that by 2025 they expect 20 to 30% of sales to be electric vehicles. So we have electric vehicles at the moment are somewhere on the order of 1 to 1.5% of the market. The real action is going to start next year. Where the lithium is going to come from to satisfy these product offerings is a real head scratcher. And to me, given the scarcity today and the view that things will become even tighter as we roll into next year, prices will go up. And the fact that lithium is very price inelastic means that prices can go way up, and manufacturers will continue to buy, particularly as there is no substitute. And it is a small part of the final product unit price, so they can afford to pay whatever they have to pay to get the material. And so again, I don't think I've ever seen a metal that has this combination of supply constrained because of lead times of 5 to 7 years to bring on new supply, a demand growth profile of sort of 15% year on year, and this high degree of price inelasticity. And you put those three together and you have a perfect storm, and it means only one thing, and that is as scarcity continues to bite, prices will go up and up and up. So you want to be long, for sure, lithium, because there's going to be a lot of money made by those that are long with lithium exposure, however they choose to get that exposure over the next 3 to 5 years.
Mike, like most commodities, there are a few different ways to get exposure. Operating margins for producers are substantially up in the past few years, and that could continue, of course, if lithium prices move up more. Moving down to the developers and explorers, the process of putting a new lithium operation in production, you've stated, is not something that's easy. Broad strokes here, what level do investors look to for maximum exposure to lithium?
I think those that are not just interested in sort of playing one of the two large caps, those being SQM and Albemarle, that have a bit more appetite for risk and commensurate exposure to much higher returns, you want to look at particularly my preference actually are the brine producers, because this is ultimately the and brines represent about half of current world supply, but this is the higher quality, lower cost material. So if you're coming into this market as an investor with a blank sort of canvas, then I think all else being equal, you would prefer to position yourself with a feedstock source that represents the lowest cost in the industry, which means brines. In this case, and that's my preference, if I'm going to position myself in a metal, I'd rather position myself at the low end of the cost curve. And for me, there's the most compelling sort of risk-reward opportunity is a company called LSC Lithium. The ticker is LSC. It was listed in late January of this year with a $40 million IPO. This company is a real standout, principally because it is it has amassed over the prior 2 years the largest lithium brine acreage position of anybody in Argentina. It has virtually as much acreage under its control as all of the other Argentine brine explorers and developers combined, and my view is if you have an underlying conviction that the price is going up, you want to get the maximum leveraged exposure to the metal, and the footprint of this company's resource is unprecedented, and arguably they're the largest private holder of lithium brine resources in the world. And as such, with a current market cap of, I think, something around $150 million, there's nowhere but up as these lithium prices really start to ratchet as scarcity and panic sets in amongst the battery makers as we roll into next year. So that is my pick, LSE Lithium. I think just because of the sheer size of its exposure to lithium resource that it will have the highest move for every uptick in the lithium price. It should get a multiplier far in excess of its peer group, and that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for stuff that has a real prospect if the thesis is right of going up 10 to 20x, and if I'm not so right, that it doesn't have much downside. So that's my pick, LSE Lithium.
And in the spirit of full disclosure, and thanks to knowing Mike Beck and his investment circles, we are positioned in LSE Lithium and happy to be. It's hard not to attain a significant level of confidence in this story with the case being made here. Mike, last question for you. There's not very many companies that actually produce lithium, and that brings into question for a company like LSC or another lithium company in similar circles. How does a company like that obtain a buyout or a reach of production? What is the end game for a company like this as an investor?
Look, I think LSC's base plan is to march, and it's doing so as we talk. It's key projects through definitive feasibility study and then into production. But because I think as the size, given the size of its resource, and I think as the panic starts to set in the supply chain next year, I think the cathode makers and maybe some of the end users, the vehicle manufacturers, will then start to, well, they're already starting to look upstream. And as they look upstream, the fact that this company, LSC, has the largest resource portfolio of lithium brine acreage in Argentina and arguably in the world, because the stuff in Bolivia is controlled by the government and the chemistry is wrong, which is why they don't produce. And Chile has challenges with water issues and regulatory issues. That kind of leaves Argentina on the brine front. It will become, in my view, a potential takeover target. So you look at one of the big battery makers, whether it's Panasonic or Ganfeng, and as material starts to increasingly become short, they're going to naturally look at ways that they can lock in long-term supply, and that almost necessitates buying somebody with a big resource base like LSC. And so that would be a happy event if it's the right price at the right time. And if it's not, it's okay in my view, because LSC will continue to march toward first production of its key projects, and it will do fine as a low-cost lithium brine producer. So either way, I think investors will be well rewarded. What can go wrong? There are only two things that can go wrong. Is it turns out that the industry consensus is off, and that electric vehicles don't take to the mass market. I think the probability of that happening is quite low, because probably within 3 to 5 years it's going to be cheaper to own and operate an electric vehicle than an internal combustion engine, putting aside all the regulatory issues about lower emission standards, and the only way to get there is through electric vehicles. So that could go wrong, but highly unlikely. I think this trend is irreversible. Or there could be some political disruption in Argentina, but even that, I think, is a manageable risk. If you look at FMC, which is the third largest lithium producer from brines in the world, they have a mine, a longstanding producing lithium brine mine that's been running for 15 plus years in Argentina, and so they very happily continue to produce and prosper through a number of different regimes in the country. So I think in our view, those two possible things that could go wrong are acceptable modest risks, and so they don't trouble us too much.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us today. Excited, as I am sure all our listeners are, to record our second interview for next week on the second battery metal being cobalt. I do appreciate your time today and your thoughts on the lithium market.
Colin, always a pleasure, and look forward to chatting next week.
Think you understand the junior mining sector, and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people, hit the bid.
How violent that term could be? It actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on?